Fine, that's great. That's good. Coming across perfectly. Right. Now, this is an interview with Mr. William Geraghty of Dublin, who was a volunteer in the Irish Bandera of General O'Duffy in Spain during the Spanish Civil War. Now, Mr. Geraghty, how did you first hear of the project to form a band of volunteers?
By means of a film that appeared on a cinema in Dublin. And, General O'Duffy appeared on the film, and he relates the history of the friendship of the Spain and Ireland. The Irish Brigade had existed some centuries before. And I think that's all I could say about that, like the film. We seek no honour, we seek no praise. We done our duty, we went to Spain.
Yeah, that's what General O'Duffy said. Okay, get back now. You were telling us that you first heard of the project, actually on a film.
Yes.
And this was a news broadcast?
It was what would you describe the short film? Not a news broadcast, but...
Public information?
Yes, public information.
And this was broadcast in between the... after the sort of... Gone with the Wind or whatever the big feature was.
The main feature, you know.
Yeah. In between that and the B feature.
That's correct.
And so he actually made this appeal on film.
On film.
Now, do you know if all the cinemas broadcast that or...
I'm not quite aware.
You couldn't say. No.
Like, I'd be of the opinion that it would be certain cinemas wouldn't.
Now, what made you interested in what O'Duffy was saying? You mentioned the historical background.
Yes. Well, in my limited learnings of the history of the friendship that existed between Spain and Ireland, and all that Spain tried to do in the sad times that my forefathers experienced, namely the Spanish Armada and given sanctuary to the our leaders,
the Earls,
the O'Donnells, and all the rest,
and your Tyrones.
Yes, and I felt indebted to Spain for our kindness to our people, our ancestors.
And was that the main thing that made you interested? Was the historical thing, a romantic historical thing? You think?
Well, no, religiously. Like, since I was a child of 7 years old, since I first made my communion, I always felt strongly in my Christian faith, my belief, and in my Christian faith and the teachings of the Catholic Church. Nevertheless, like, I've a respect for every other religion.
Sure.
I wouldn't have tried to impose my religion on anyone else.
So there were two factors. Would you say religion was more important than the
yes.
sense of history?
Yes.
The sense of history joined with the religious sense.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Did you decide to go immediately you saw this film, or did you take some time before you decided?
I decided immediately to go.
And you didn't reflect or seek any advice from anybody?
No, I didn't seek any advice. Could I say that at that time I was a member of the Irish Army? I joined the Irish Army when I was 16.
You were a serving soldier?
Yes, serving soldier in the Irish. Well, actually, it was a volunteer force which consisted of training on the weekends and doing annual training.
So you weren't a full-time soldier?
You
were a full-time soldier.
Fully trained.
Yeah, but what I mean is you were actually a full-time serving soldier. You didn't have any other job.
I had no other job, but it wouldn't be raises as full-time. It was something on, like, the Home Guard in
right.
England.
Not the FCA, you don't mean?
Well, the FCA, on the side of the FCA.
Right. And so you weren't unemployed. You were getting a wage.
Yes, I was getting a wage.
And that was enough to live on, you think? That was it?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Okay. Now, had you heard in this film or in the press, had you heard at all about the atrocities being committed against nuns and priests?
Yes, I did, actually. I read about the terrible atrocities.
Pinch a piece of paper?
Sure. Yes, actually, I thought I had the...
That's great, thank you.
That's fine.
Yes, I had read about all that was happening. I had previously read about the happenings in Mexico and in Russia, Soviet Russia. Russia, I always regarded as being a religious a nation up to 1917, when the atrocities was committed on the Tsar and his family and all the rest. But I believed and thought that Russia up to that had been, like I said, a religious country. And listening on the radio to Moscow, urging workers of the world unite and revolt. Notwithstanding, it didn't really matter what the conditions was. We urged the workers to revolt and unite against any regime, any of their own, in their own countries.
But you say you'd heard about Russia and Mexico,
yes,
where of course the church was persecuted. But did you hear of the persecution of the church in Spain?
I did, yes.
You had
absolutely,
heard?
Yes.
And you'd heard of these atrocities?
I did, yes.
Did you, through the newspapers?
Yeah, through the newspapers.
Right. Who did you think were committing the atrocities?
I believed that they were Soviet, it was Soviet Russia and Bolsheviks from several other countries, namely America, England, Canada, and China, and what's that other called? Castro.
Cuba.
Cuba. I captured a Cuban myself, a prisoner. Captured a Cuban prisoner. So there was all nationalities there in the International Brigade.
So you thought it was a communist conspiracy or organization?
Yes.
Against religion?
I was an anti-communist.
Right, good, fine. Did you think, when you at this time when you were considering going, did you tell anybody at all you were going?
Just soon before I left, I told my mother, Esther, and I packed a towel and soap.
She wasn't very pleased, I take it.
She was broken-hearted, actually.
What about your parish priest? Did you tell him?
No, I didn't tell the parish priest.
Did you hear any... You had no encouragement from any priest?
No, I had no encouragement.
Did you, in church, you never heard in the sermons any priest saying anything about it?
No, I never heard any priest.
Did you... What was your family? Your family was... your mother was broken-hearted. Your father was dead, was he, Mr. Geraghty?
My father... he was dead at that time. He was a British soldier. He fought in the 1418 war.
Yeah. Did you know much about Spain at the time, apart from these atrocities? You knew about the link between Ireland and Spain.
Yes.
Did you know anything else about Spain?
Well, I knew quite a lot about Spain, Spanish music and every other thing.
Oh, really?
And I educated and sent my children there to be educated musically. And they, in turn, went to Spain and they were capable of playing Spanish music and all
later,
that.
Later.
Yes. That was in later years, actually.
Really? So you knew a bit about flamenco and guitar music and dances and...
The customs of the Spanish people.
Yeah, and you were interested in that as a young man?
Absolutely, very much.
That was amazing. How did you get interested in that? I mean, did you hear it on the radio or did you have gramophone records or...?
I could never...
You played an instrument yourself?
No, I never played it.
You just like listening to it?
I loved music, yes, absolutely. But For some unexplained reason, I loved Spain from my youngest days. And the Spanish people.
Yeah. Did you know it was a Catholic country?
I did, absolutely. I was very sure of that.
Yeah. Would I be correct in assuming that you and your family, your father possibly, who was dead then, but that you had all been supporters of Cumann na Chnéadel before, well, up to that time?
Cumann na Gael.
Cumann na Gael.
No, actually.
You weren't?
No. I was in the opposite, actually. I was in the FEMA when I was a young boy of 14.
So you were a Dev supporter?
Yes.
At that time?
Yes. I soldiered with De Valera, Vivian De Valera, that's De Valera's son.
He was in command of your...
He was just a corporal.
Yes, I remember him taking his commission, So he was in the same
unit? He was
unit.
In the same unit, in the same billet as I was.
So obviously, therefore, you had never been a blue shirt?
No, I was never a blue shirt.
Were you against the blue shirts?
I was, yes. I was against fascism at all times.
And you never did you belong to the Irish Christian Front?
Well, I never took. I can't recall now.
Paddy Belton's people.
No,
you didn't. Sorry. Okay. And so your previous military experience was that you were trained in the FCA.
Yes, I was trained in the FCA.
Okay. Now, having decided to go.
Yes.
Who did you deal with? I mean, what did you do at that point? I mean, who did you see? Who did you write to?
I went down to a house called the Standard House in Pierce Street. Mm. That published the Catholic Standard, where I was examined by two doctors to see was I fit for to go to Spain. So I was examined and all that for, and found, thank God, to be fit at that time for to go to Spain. And as I say, it was November 36 then. I was notified to call down the Standard House, and by car, we travelled by private car from Standard House to Galway Bay.
Yeah, that was a trip. Did you when they you signed on, as it were, did they were they surprised that you were a Dev supporter, that you hadn't been a blue shirt, or didn't they ask you?
They never asked, because there was every shade of political opinion. There was guards, there was police, there was Dr. Sloan, there was Franciscans.
This is what O'Duffy always claimed, but not many people believed him.
Yes.
Everyone said they were all blue shirts.
Yes.
So, were you from a big family?
There was 10 actually, but
some died.
Three that, as my sister and my three brothers died. That left, six of us.
So you had five brothers and sisters when you went to Spain?
Just one brother, it was myself there, and the rest were sisters.
And were you the eldest then?
Yeah, I was the eldest.
What did you know about, I mean, in Dublin, during the Blue Shirt period, there had been fights.
There had been, yes.
And were you ever involved in these?
No, I was never involved.
So you stood aloof from this, from the violence between the Blue Shirts and the other side?
Yes.
Right. What did you know about General O'Duffy himself before you volunteered?
Well, I knew General O'Duffy to be a man that formed the Irish police force, the Irish unarmed police force. And in my case, like, knowing him to be a Catholic, once he was a Catholic, if he abided by his Catholic teachings, he couldn't do anything wrong or criminal against anyone.
As long as he was being a good Catholic.
A good Catholic.
It was impossible to do anything wrong.
It was impossible to do anything wrong.
So you felt that he was forming this bandera, this legion, as a Catholic, and therefore it was the right thing?
Yes, I did, absolutely.
What did you know anything about him apart from the Garda Síochána? Did you know anything about him?
Yeah, I knew that he took active part in the civil war. Now, what particular, at the moment, now, I wouldn't be able to recall. Well, I wasn't born until 18.
Of course, actually. Yes. So you were 18 at this time?
Let me see.
17 or 18?
Yeah, 18, that's oh. right, yes.
Are you sure you're 18 now?
I was born the 24th of March, 1918.
So you're 18, I believe, you're 18, okay. this brought me on to the point I was going to ask. Did you know anyone younger than you who went?
No, I didn't.
So you were pretty sure that people were at least 18 that went?
Yes. Definitely.
You didn't know anyone of 16 or 17?
No, I think I was the youngster there.
You think you were there? Okay. Did you know anybody who wanted to go? Did you, when you signed up to go, did you go completely on your own or did you go with a friend?
I went on my own, actually. Sorry, I went with a friend that travelled as far as Galway and changed his mind and come back to Dublin.
Some friend. And with friends like that, you don't need enemies. Now, did you know anyone else who wanted to go but couldn't go or didn't go?
I knew quite a few that wanted to go, but unfortunately, the non-intervention committee put a bar up to it, I believe.
Yeah.
Anyway, at that time there was the non-intervention.
There was indeed, and David signed it.
Yes,
yeah.
and actually there we had offers from America, even as far as Canada and America. They would have furnished, if they or provided the cavalry units and all from the States to go and fight communism at that time. Sadly, there in England and in America, they regarded at that time, 1936, as their allies. I mean, Joe Stalin and Roosevelt and the rest of them, they were very great pals at that time. And it was only an after.
Yeah. Did you know how some people have said that there were one or two Englishmen who actually joined O'Duffy in Spain? Is that true? Do you know any Englishman or Scotsman or Welshman?
Unfortunately, I
didn't. You didn't meet any?
I was aware of the 700 that was there.
Yeah.
There was 700, and I don't know of any English or
right.
Scotsman.
Did you... Who was your immediate superior, the lieutenant of your platoon?
Lieutenant Timlin.
Tim?
Timlin.
George Timlin.
George Timlin, that's correct.
Yeah. Did you see him on the television programme that came on about a long time ago called Even the Olives Are Bleeding?
Unfortunately, I didn't. The last meeting I had with Lieutenant Timlin was in a clinic for heart disease. I always had heart disease and he had. And both of us was waiting to see the doctor. And I happened to turn around and see Lieutenant Timlin. And I walked up to him and put my arms around him. And the feeling between the two was, you see, in the advance on a town, there was a scout, there was Lieutenant Timlin, and I was Lieutenant Timlin's runner. That meant his orders I carried to each squad. So you can imagine the feelings that we had over 30 years afterwards when we finished up in our heart clinic. Really.
And that was just a coincidence?
That's the only occasion.
And do you remember any of the other officers?
Well, like Captain Cunningham.
Yeah, Sean Cunningham.
Sean Cunningham and Major Sullivan.
Who later became commanding officer.
Yeah, Major, that's right.
Dermot
Sullivan,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And this one particular person that I always remember, indeed, I'm in hope someday to go out to his grave there in Caceres. That's wonderful. It's lovely.
That's O'Sullivan, then, yeah.
It's really grand.
Now, who are you thinking about now, who was buried in Caceres?
Tom Hoyt.
Yeah.
He was killed by mistake.
Yeah.
In an engagement between two armies that was on the right side, on at the Franco side.
Right.
The Canary Islanders.
Quite correct. Now, did you, you went from Galway, therefore you came up to El Ferrol.
Yes.
And what happened then? You were put on a train at El Ferrol?
El Ferrol, El Farad, yeah, we were put on the train and we travelled to Salamanca.
Right. What do you remember about Salamanca?
Salamanca, we got our first meal. There was no provision made for meals or for sleeping accommodation on the German merchant ship that brought us over to El Farol.
Yeah.
And there was nothing actually there. Only we got climbed up a wooden ladder, like the tender that brought us over to the merchant ship.
It was in Galway Bay.
Yeah, Irish territorial waters.
Yeah.
Was way up. And they put a wooden ladder down to the. So I'd say about 30 men changed their mind about going to Spain, because it was in November and the seas was pretty rough. So when we got onto the boat there was only one thing there. The German captain was provision for food or sleeping accommodation was completely out. There was no such thing as that. And the conditions from El Farol, or from Galway to El Farol through the Bay of Biscay, was anything but calm. The first time I saw whales, not the country, but the fish.
Coast.
Fish floating up the water was at all.
So it was hair-raising, really?
It was absolutely hair-raising. And when we arrived in El Farol, there was an air raid on. So
that's a welcome for you.
So instead of going into the town, we went onto Spanish Navy ships until the air raid was over. So then we eventually travelled from that to Salamanca. Salamanca, we had a meal that was really knock you out for a week.
I bet.
And we had an appetite. As I say, I was 18 when I was able to eat. But the welcome we received there was, the Irish College is in Salamanca.
That's right.
And we received there.
Do you remember Father McCabe?
I do, yes, I remember Father
McCabe. Did he say anything to you?
No, actually, it was always in the background. They never.
Yeah, but did you go to church at that point, or did you hear any mass or?
Not in Salamanca, but in Casper's there, where we attended the church regularly.
Do you remember the Bishop of Salamanca saying anything when you were in Salamanca?
Well, he could have, but I have no recollection.
Don't you remember? So you got to Badajoz, the city of Badajoz, from Salamanca. And then to Cáceres.
Oh, sorry.
Please correct me.
From
Salamanca.
From El Farol to Salamanca.
Yeah.
From Salamanca. It could have been that, but on then to Cáceres.
Cáceres.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And what can you tell me about Cáceres? What do you remember about it?
Cáceres, the people there gave us a royal welcome. You could describe it as a royal welcome. And we were stationed in the military barracks in Cáceres. And we were trained in Cáceres. We used to go outside Cáceres to the airfield and train. Well, as I say, I was trained in rifle fire and machine gun fire and trained as mortars. I had that experience there. But there was other chaps there and they didn't know how to put a bullet into the rifle. But the people of Cáceres there taught an awful lot of us.
And What impression did you have of them? Did you think they were
absolutely very nice people?
One person I spoke to yesterday, who you may not know, whose name is Dennis Reynolds of Coothill, County Cavan, who served in a machine gun company under Sean O'Cunningham.
Yes.
He said that one of the things he didn't think the people of Spain were so such good Catholics as the Irish, and that disappointed him a bit. Did you have that feeling? I didn't have that feeling.
No. Well, I suppose the younger people might have, yet the older people...
He did mention the younger people, yes.
Yeah, the older people were religious.
Yeah.
Was, no experience of the younger people now being disrespectful to the religion or that, but he could be right anyway.
Now, did you know of anyone who tried to learn Spanish? Did you learn to... a few words, I suppose.
Yeah, yo hablo poco español.
Yo también.
But you say, there's an old Spanish saying there, hermano Celta.
Yeah.
And yeah, that always stuck in my mind. Yeah. Brother Celta.
Hermano Celta.
Hermano.
Hermano Celta. Yeah.
My pronunciation be completely.
But yes, you've got the sense of it, all right. Yeah.
But
so they felt a feeling of brotherhood with the Celts.
Yes, yeah. And that's another thing that stood out very importantly. Likewise, the Welsh people and the Scotch people.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you aware of the honour that Franco had done you and O'Duffy in making you part of the Foreign Legion of the 10th deal?
What should I say? He reviewed us in Castles anyway.
Sure.
Franco came and reviewed us in Castles. But in relation to pay or food, it wasn't very good at all. I mean, and then, like, in our engagements there, we were 5 months without taking. This might be different now to the machine gun company.
Sure.
I was a company, the leading company
right,
in the Bandera.
Right.
And we never took our uniforms off for 5 months. So you can imagine what I thought of a badge when I come back.
I prefer not to. yes. But you didn't feel, I mean, no one told you what an honour it was for you to be made a part of that elite
regiment.
Oh, yes. Regiment.
Yes, yeah. Like in the Legion, there's no retreat in that. Like, and at that time, I was adventurous. I wanted to go to the Amazon if I didn't go to Spain anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, as I say, I think I was nearly born a soldier. You know that way, like, I always had the inclination.
That's not unusual in this country, Mr. Geraghty. Now, can I get on to, you think, what about the military training? You think it was pretty good?
It was pretty, no, it wasn't.
You knew
was
something about
it?
You already knew something,
I went to the Army School of Instruction.
Sure, so you already had something to go by.
I had everything there.
Yeah. So by those standards, you think it was rather poor?
It was poor, fairly poor.
Did you learn anything at all? I mean, when looking back on the battle experience you had,
yes.
Do you remember that the training they gave you at Catalyst, was that any use to you, or did you use your own previous training more?
I used my own previous training more.
Right.
So.
Okay.
What was it? I had something in mind. I think it was. It's gone out.
Okay, fine. If you remember, you can say it any time.
Could I say, sorry?
No, you say what you like.
That Gabriel Lee was a sergeant major in the brigade. And in an engagement, Gabriel Lee and myself were in the prone position, that's lying on the ground when there was shelling. And the shrapnel from one of the shells hit Gabriel on the side, broke his bayonet, and got embedded in his side. And they had provided two men for a stretcher bearing. But as it turned out, it required 4 men for a stretcher bearing due to the nature of the country that we were in. So Lieutenant Tyndall Tolley was a very great man. I volunteered, like, Lieutenant Timlin. George Timlin.
Yeah.
I volunteered to carry the stretcher bearing. So it's a memory that loves remain with me there. Like, Gabriel Lee was on the stretcher, like, wounded and that, and they were still shelling the road. On a Spanish road there's no hedges.
Quite.
So you had to come up onto the in the sight of the enemy and that. So when the shells was landing there, I couldn't leave him, you know. He was lying on the stretcher, but I'd hold his hand, like, and it keep on holding him. And that's always remembered.
You can remember it holding his hand.
Remember altogether.
And you know that there's a window memorial to him, which I hope to see. We hope to see it later today in the Pro Cathedral.
No, I wasn't aware of that. No, give me in the Pro Cathedral.
It's in the Pro Cathedral, just off Hotel Cornwall Street. I was told that yesterday.
To Gabriel Lee.
There's a stained glass window to Gabriel Lee there.
I did be in the Pro Cathedral, and I never caused me to look at it.
Well, you can see it now. That's where it is.
I'm grateful to you.
I didn't know about it until yesterday.
Yes.
I mean, I know there was a Requiem Mass there for him. I mean, you were still in Spain, so you couldn't go to that. But there was a Requiem Mass there for him a week after he was killed, I think, in the Pro Cathedral. And later people contributed money to put a window.
A stained window.
And there's one there. We haven't seen it yet. I hope we're going this afternoon to see it. Now, can I get on to the touchy subject of drink?
I see you're
now a pioneer.
Total abstinence.
How long have you been a pioneer?
I'd say around about 15, 16 years.
Right. So when you were in Spain...
I was fond of the vino.
You were
fond,
right. Now, okay.
What's your vino? Yeah.
Now, this, you're aware that this has been a criticism of the bandera, the people who are against O'Duffy.
Yes.
And who think that the brigade was probably not a good thing to be in and not a good thing to do. One of the criticisms they tend to make is that they were a drunken lot and they were pretty useless drunks.
I'd be absolutely against that, because first and foremost, we were never paid money to enable us to go out and get drunk. At the very most, 15 pesetas every 5 days. Sometimes you're lucky to get 20 cigarettes. And in
regular ration, 20 cigarettes ration, you mean?
Yeah, just 20 cigarettes, maybe in a week or whatever it be. But in relation to drunkenness or disorderly behaviour or anything like that, there was no member of the Irish Brigade ever brought for the 7 months shame to the Irish Brigade.
Yeah.
And in relation to drunkenness, it's completely false. And it's like the rest there, the fascism and that was lowered against us there, fascists and dictators. Franco, to my knowledge, was never a dictator. He loved his own country and protected his own country against atheistic communism. And had they got established in Spain, they were established in France, and they were established, I've seen it, they were established in England, because I've seen that in Hyde Park, that they were very well established in 1936, that Europe was in danger of being overrun, including Portugal, by atheistic communists.
Right.
And that's only my own.
So you yourself never saw serious, I mean, obviously people had a bit too much occasionally and got a bit jolly, but you never saw violence or fighting?
Never saw any fighting at all. I saw on one occasion a case of drink, and it was a large lesson he died afterwards, Sergeant Williams. He come in to the guard room and he asked us if we want to leave. We said, no, we can do it there. So he shot us out. He took out his revolver and shot us.
Right. He obviously was a bit the worse.
Yes.
Okay. But... I mean, obviously, since you were actually in the line for 13 consecutive weeks out of the 6 months, the opportunities for drinking in bars and so on were pretty limited anyway.
There wasn't bars within 20 miles of us, because it was all in the country parts that we were in anyway.
Absolutely. Now, can you remember anything about the incident? You can remember, because you talked about it earlier, about the incident on February the 17th, when Tom Hyde and Daniel Shute of Kerry were killed. What can you remember about that day altogether?
I can remember leaving the town of Cassillis, and we were proceeding to some other point. I regret that I don't know the point I was proceeding to. Within Franco country, and we were mistakenly identified by a Canary Islanders army as being the enemy. And without any warning or anything else, they commenced the fire on us. And I seen Dan shoot there, I turned him over actually there, and the back of his head was all gone, the back of his skull was gone. And Tom Hyde was machine gunned across the face. To my knowledge, he was machine gunned across the face. So we lost them too early at the beginning of the time in which we were in Spain.
And you saw these two men?
I saw those, yes.
You saw them lying?
Yeah, I saw them lying down.
Did you have any opinion as to why these Franco troops mistook you for the enemy?
Yeah, we were dressed differently to any other part of the army. Our mode of dress was different. We had putties and all that. And
do you think it was mainly the uniforms?
It was the mistaken the uniforms.
Now, Tom Dalton, who is the brother of Patrick Dalton, who was the original field commander, who was invalided back. Major Dalton. His brother. And also Tony Hyde, who is the brother of the Tom Hyde who was killed that day.
Yes.
Those two suggested, and indeed I understand that Dalton himself suggested, that there was criticism of his, that of his behaviour that may have been correct, that he had you advancing in battle formation.
Yes.
And he'd done that because there was a danger of artillery fire and possibly of aeroplane attack.
That's absolutely correct, yes.
So you were aware that you were in battle formation?
Yes. Right. Yes, we were in battle
formation. And of course, as things happened, in a sense, perhaps it was just as well you were in battle formation.
That's correct. Yeah. We were the last one.
Okay. And how long did this engagement last, do you know?
It lasted very short. It was very short, it was. The engagement was, I'd venture to say, in my memory, it'd no more than 50 minutes anyway.
15 or?
50.
About less than an hour?
Almost an hour.
Right. And the two men were killed early on?
They were killed early on.
And what did you do? I mean, what part did you play in the engagement?
Well, I was in the leading company. A company was always out in the front anyway, and the machine gun company had to be in a safe distance away from us, way behind.
Sure.
And the trench mortar company, trench mortar section.
Right.
And I was in the front of it actually.
And you were in the prone position firing at the enemy with your rifle?
Yes.
And did you fire away?
I fired away.
Could you see the target?
I seen them in the distance, yes. But the rifles we were using there was fairly old, like they only held 5 rounds.
Oh, really?
They were ancient.
And they were presumably, the sights weren't terribly good.
They weren't very good at all.
So they were effective up to how many yards, would you say? 200,
I'd 300? I'd say about
300 yards?
At the very most, 300 yards.
And the enemy were perhaps a bit further away than that?
Yes, they would be, yes.
400 or 500 yards?
They would be, yeah. 500 yards.
And it lasted 50 minutes, and then, do you know how it stopped?
Whatever way the officers communicated with one another,
yes,
they found out, they found a mistake.
Right.
Of both the army, the Canary Islanders and the Irish, or the brigades.
Okay. But as far as you were concerned, during those 50 minutes, those were the Republican or Communist enemy that you were firing at?
Yes, a Communist.
During that 50 minutes?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Now, can you remember anything about the other major engagement that took place during the attack on the village of Tytulltheia?
Yeah, I can remember that well. The Moorish cavalry was used in that.
Yeah.
The Moorish cavalry consisted of, as you probably know, horses, just ordinary horses.
Yeah.
And sabres or swords and that. And they were very badly cut to pieces, you know, they were visible there.
They went in from the flank?
Yes.
Right, so you could see them on your flank?
Yeah.
On the left, or the right?
No, the Italians were on our left.
The Italian. Are you sure the Italians were in this engagement? I'm talking about now when you tried to attack Tytulltheia from when you were in Thiempozuelos.
Yes.
And you were defending the railway sidings and the railway buildings. Do you remember being that in the trenches?
I do, I remember that quite well.
And you had to attack across open country, a position the enemy held, which was higher.
Yes.
In the hills, above a small stream or river.
It's either the Harama or the Tagus.
Yeah.
One of those rivers.
And the bridge was an objective.
It was mined. That's why we didn't go over it.
So you didn't go over it?
We didn't go over it.
And did you see it blowing up, or did you hear it blowing up?
No, it wasn't blown up there.
It wasn't blown up?
We were aware, intelligence had it there, that it was mined.
Right. So you never actually went across?
No, they were waiting for half or three quarters of the brigade to go across, then set off the mines.
And do you remember there being artillery fire?
there was artillery for, there was 900 shells fired in 3 hours, if one could imagine that.
Yeah.
Somebody must have been praying for us.
But were you aware that it may have been a diversionary attack, that what you were intended to draw the artillery fire so that there could be a more effective attack from another direction?
That's absolutely correct. It was a feint attack.
Yeah.
Just like a boxer.
Yeah.
To draw the artillery fire on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sadly, the Italians were coming in on the left flank.
Right.
And they failed to come in on the left flank.
Right.
And left us under the artillery and trench mortar fire for several hours until the evening there. We got back. But as it happened there, miraculously, to my knowledge, there was nobody killed. But it's,
well, this was when, I think this was the day that Gabriel Lee was killed, was it?
Yeah, well, he was wounded the force, you see. When I carried him on the stretcher, he was alive.
Yeah.
And we brought him out. There was, the ambulance couldn't come up any nearer than about a mile and a half to the engagement.
Yeah.
So we carried them the mile and a half down, and Gabriel was alive going into the ambulance.
Sure.
So I think it was some few days gangrene set into his hip. But such a quiet person, he never, I think he told me to look after myself. As I say, that I was young and all that, but I couldn't leave him, you know. And it's a memory that I'll hear.
Yeah. You didn't know him before you joined him?
No, I didn't know him.
But you knew he was a Dubliner?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, can I ask you about the town of Ciampozuelos that you...
Yes.
Do you remember anything about the town at all?
Yeah, there was snipers firing in the evening there, like, there was a sniper fire.
When you went in?
When we went in. When we were advancing on Ciampozuelos there, the communists, or the Reds, released inmates of the asylum.
Now, did you see that?
I didn't, I come across one youngster there, and he wasn't not mentally affected or anything like that, but he was completely terrified because I had a beard and I had a bald head and everything else. And
I mean, you shaved your head?
Yeah, I must have looked absolutely horrible. But the only way I got through to him was I took a few Spanish coins out of my pocket, and any youngster that sees money, I don't know, maybe it's just my imagination. But he was in no man's land, that little boy.
But you didn't actually see any lunatics? Did you see
I didn't see any lunatics, but I would believe that.
Right.
That.
Okay. Did you, you know, the lunatics were from a convent?
Yes, that's correct.
Did you see the convent?
No, I didn't see the convent.
You weren't billeted in there at any time in the convent?
No, I wasn't. I was billeted in a doctor's house.
And right, yes, go on.
Catholic doctor's house, where I believe they were at the killing them.
You heard that they
killed... In Ciampozuelos. Yeah, that's the pronunciation, but I know.
Yeah, sure. And did you hear that this doctor had been killed?
I heard of it, yeah.
You didn't see his body?
No, I was in his house, like...
Yeah.
Billeted in his house for 1 or 2 days.
Right, okay. And you never went... You never saw any of the nuns in the convent, or...?
No, I never saw any of the nuns.
Did you see the word Sakatvala anywhere in the town? It's a strange word, S-A-K-A-T-V-A-L-A, Sakatvala.
No, I never saw that.
You never saw that word?
I saw evidence there, like at the treatment that they gave churches and...
Did you see any desecrated churches?
Oh, yes, indeed.
You did?
Sorry.
And did you actually see evidence of any atrocities that had been committed by the Reds?
Yes, I did. I seen. Let me see.
I mean, now with your own eyes, did you see any evidence?
No.
Not with your own eyes.
Not my own.
Right. You heard of a lot.
I heard of quite a lot and saw like traces of.
Yeah. You saw evidence. Desecration and devastation and maybe some blood. Or did you see blood?
I never saw blood. I saw bodies exhumed from the dead.
Yeah.
Nuns and all the rest there and. Their bodies dug up and put in grotic, is that the word, positions, like lying against walls, skeletons of people like that.
Yeah.
Desecrated, however.
And you saw those dead?
I saw them.
They were bodies that had died before, of course. People who had died before.
Yeah, bodies of people.
Dug up long dead people, yeah. Okay. And you actually saw those coffins?
I saw those, yes.
How long before? I mean, these...
No, ages before, years.
Sure,
certainly happened elsewhere, yeah. It happened elsewhere,
I'm not sure. Like the bodies and all, should I say, the skeletons there of the religious people, nuns or priests that were buried, where it was dug up by these people, which is, to my mind, is unimaginable, that any sane person or any normal person will come along and dig somebody up out of a grave.
Did you wonder why this had been done at all?
Well, I had heard so much about it, the Reds, the opposition people, the drunkenness and rape and mistreatment of young people, girls and women and all like that. But I had I wasn't surprised.
Right, right. Did you see any evidence of atrocities committed by your own side, by the Franco side? I don't mean necessarily by your own people, but I mean the Franco side.
I couldn't say. No, I've seen executions and all, but it was proven murderers. Anybody that was identified as being a killer that committed murder in any of the towns of Spain or Ireland like that, they were executed.
And you witnessed these executions?
I witnessed 15.
15 people being killed. On one occasion or more than one occasion?
On one occasion.
And this was in the main square of?
This was at the, it was near the barracks.
Near the barracks in Cáceres.
In Cáceres, yeah.
And these men, you were told, were criminals?
They were criminals, yeah. Committed terrible, some atrocities. You
know. Right.
But like normally now, like as I say, I don't guard on prisoners. But those prisoners were safe enough because they weren't people that they were just soldiers.
Right.
They hadn't committed any atrocities.
You mean prisoners of war?
Prisoners of war.
Right. And you said at one time you captured yourself a prisoner.
Yeah, Cuban. Well, actually, I think it's the wrong description to say I captured him. He walked up to me. I had been ordered there to shoot any movement in front of me. For some reason or other, I didn't see him approaching me, but he could have killed me. So I'm capturing him like he just gave himself up, more or less.
And he was an international brigader?
No, he was a Cuban, but he was he turned out to be a Catholic, but he had seen so much of the Red, what was happening on the other side, that he decided to get out of it and come over to.
Did he tell you why he was in Spain? If he was Cuban, I mean, what was he doing in Spain?
Well, actually, it wasn't long enough because I handed him over to the captain.
But he didn't say that he was International Brigade.